my appreciation for Jose. To paraphrase Mother Teresa, Mother Teresa says, great service is not doing great things. It's doing the little things with great love. And so I really appreciate Jose's service. Let's begin to this time of opening God's word in prayer. Lord God Almighty, only you can truly make the blind see, the sin-filled cleanse. You are the great healer. You are the risen King. We proclaim on this Palm Sunday that you are the risen King, that all hope lies in you. No darkness of the world, no evil deed can overwhelm your kingship. So we pray that your power of the Holy Spirit will continue to speak to us as your people, to draw us to you, to be on our knees to worship you, the King of Kings. And Lord God, may your patient love for us call us to true repentance. Repentance that draws us back to an intimate fellowship with you, that allows us to shine with your grace and your love, because the world so desperately needs you, and may we be invited into that process. So we ask you that you speak by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by human measures as I do, but I pray that the last word will be from you, Lord God, as we learn about the joy and the blessedness of repentance. In the name of Jesus, amen. So before we start, I want to, in this Lenten season, many of us, all right, have possibly chose something to give up as a sign of our repentance, as a sign of our self-examination at this 40 days prior to that I've heard. So there was a Christian family who had a young boy in it, and it hits a Lenten season as we are now. And the father asks him, the little boy says, what are you giving up for Lent? The boy goes, again I got to give up something? All right. And so with much sadness, he decided to give up candy. Well, that's a big thing for a little boy. All right. So he goes, okay, Daddy, I'm going to give up candy for this Lenten season. And then a few days later into this Lenten season, he saw his grandfather out on the porch, all right, drinking alcohol. And the young boy goes to the grandfather and says, grandfather, I thought you were giving up liquor for Lent. And the grandfather says, no, son, I'm just giving up hard liquor. I go, what? The boy goes, what? And he goes, all right, you're just giving up hard liquor. I'm just giving up hard candy. Gobble, gobble, gobble. There is a way that we repent that doesn't really make a lot of difference. So we need to take a sobering look at what does it really mean to repent that makes a difference. All right? So in this book of Joel, this wonderful book of Joel, it's only a couple of chapters, all right? We don't know too much about Joel the prophet. Very short book. We don't know much about his family background, all right? But one thing we know about Joel, right from the get-go, the word of the Lord came. If you and I were any prophet, if we were known for nothing else but the word of the Lord came to that prophet, whoa. So let us listen to the word of Joel, all right? Let's go to Joel chapter 2. I got the clicker this time. Here we go. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. It is the 29th book in the Bible if you want to go to it, and we'll read together, all right? Okay. Ready? Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rent your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in his love. And he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing. Grain offerings and drink offering for the Lord your God. So, some of you might know, just a little background. The people of Judah were experiencing this incredible attack of these locusts, all right? They were wiping out all their crops, all right? Whatever they grew, these locusts would swarm down. The day would turn to the night almost. It would sound like an army attacking because there's so many locusts. I read the prior chapters. It sounds like it was like thunderous horses. There were so many locusts. When they swooped down and they landed like a dark cloud, and when that cloud dissipated, nothing was left of the field. Everything on the field was decimated. Wow. It would scare the daylights out of me. All right? I go, what is going on? But put it into the modern context. Imagine if you went to the supermarket, right? And being in New York City, rats came out everywhere. You know, the old movie Ben, gazillion rats come out to all of the supermarket, ShopRite, Pathmark, Costco, anywhere there's food. Wiped out everything you can possibly think of. And this happens week after week after week. All right? And it's causing panic throughout Judah. Right? But Sinder Joe comes along and says, whenever we face catastrophes, tragedies, great decimation, the cry is always repentance. Repentance. And let me just help you define what repentance means. Let's keep it simple as we go deep. Right? What does repentance mean? Right? All right, I want to engage you. What does repentance mean to you? Huh? Anybody?
Turn away from.
Turn away from. That's good. Excellent. Turn away from. There's another part of repentance that is just as beautiful as turning away from. What is the second part of repentance? All right, we got from this side. Okay.
Going back to.
Go. Excellent. This side gets the prize this time. You guys usually win. This side, whoa. That's right. Turning away from and returning to. Profoundly, but powerfully, simply as that. All right? Repentance. Right? Before we get to that, right? Anytime we talk about repentance, what's your body language? What does your body feel? Oh, today we're going to talk about repentance. Would you say, ooh, joy? No, right? This is your face when you talk about repentance. That's your face, right? We're going to new repent, right? Or maybe that's the face that all teenagers make. All right. Right? You know, repentance has a bad rap. And it saddens me that this beautiful thing of leaving something and returning has a bad rap. Because it actually is one of the most beautiful, beautiful gifts that God has given to us. It's the joy of repentance, right? We have a lot of just misunderstandings about repentance. And our cultures feed into that, right? Oh, look at this. Hulk says, repent, sinners, all right? It conjures up of the street preacher says, repent, or, you know, da-da-da-da-da, right? So it has a bad rap, and I want to say no. I want to say it is incredibly beautiful because of what the two definition means. It's turning away and turning to, all right? Repentance as a way of life. We are to be returning to the King, right? And what is this? Is this, all right? Oh, wait a minute. basically, all right, repentance is such a gift that it actually, if you understood it, it brings you to life. And the turning to is actually turning to the King. That's why the second half of it, if it's not equally, it could be more important what we turn away from. Because oftentimes we turn away from something, like Lent. We give up something, but we don't turn to the King. We don't turn to God. So giving up something doesn't, or turning away from something has great power, but the greater power is who you turn to, right? So, right? Or do you show contempt for this riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? And the great, great, wondrous news of the gospel is basically God's kindness. God's kindness is not to be taken for granted, but it is actually an invitation for us to repent. And I confess, sometimes I do take God's kindness for granted. Who does? I do. Yes, thank you. And I'm so afraid to even preach this because I'm a sinner who relates to this. And this calls me back to say God's kindness, God's mercy is what draws me back to him. And let me unpack this a little bit more. All right? So, theologically, is to turn from evil and to turn to good. Bingo. Ah, you guys are great. Most critically, theologically, is the idea of returning to God and turning away from sin. Yes. I would say turning away from sin and turning to God. So the end goal actually is not to turn away, but is to return to God. That's why repentance is so joyful, so much of a gift, right? I'll give a simple illustration, all right? I walk in today, and I get greeted by your wonderful Pastor Dan. And the last time I was preaching here, all right, I accidentally stole something or took something from his office. Well, accidentally, you know, judge me, all right? So I go, Dan, I'm sorry. I took this from you last time. All right, so I confess to him, I repent, Dan. I won't take it again. All right, and he goes, no worries, no worries at all. It's a gift. You see, I repented, but the joy of coming back to Dan was received with graciousness. And in that exchange, that 10-second exchange, you know, I think it strengthened out. I felt closer to Pastor Dan because of that. It is Pastor Dan's kindness that allows me to experience the joy of repentance. And how much more so is God's patient kindness for you and for me? Right? But then we look at the, right? We talk about Job, right? So even now declares the Lord, right? Return to me with all your heart. So when Job says, return to me, what does that connote? Well, when you have to return, that means what? You have been, what? Away. Ah, see, you guys are great. You guys got to catch up. Must be the light. Can we have one light on? That's it. That's good. Beautiful. Right? You are here. Great. So, if Job calls us, you and me, to return, calls the people of Judah to return, all right, that means the people of Judah was away. You and I have a tendency to wander from God. Do you know that? Do you admit that? God is so wonderful. Like, how do I even put it? When I study this repentance, I'm falling in love with God more and more. Because even a messed up guy like me can engage in repentance. And I do. I know my own thoughts. If you know your thoughts, you know, go, oh boy, oy vey, I need to repent. But just like before, I go, who's been far away from God before? All right? Pastor Dan raised his hand. All right? And I know every time I ask a difficult question like that, Jose raises his hand. And this is an interesting thing. I find Jose to be one of the most godly men I know. My pastor Pete knows Jose. And he goes to me, Jose is a godly man. And he just sees him for glasses. I don't get it. But I actually do believe that Jose is a very godly man. But when I ask, who has been far away from God? Or who has experienced anger? Jose's hand is the one that usually first goes up. So repentance is not only for people who are like dreadful, murderous, lying sinners who don't go to church. Job was talking to people of God. He was not talking to non-believers. He was calling you, me, Pastor Dan, Jose, all of us, sorry, see, old age, all right? He's not preaching to non-believers. He's preaching to believers. But this is the great, wondrous news, all right? And when I think of godly people, I think of men who repent, women who repent. And one of the greatest examples of that is David. All right? Huh? David? What was David known to be? What? A man after God's own heart. Let me see. Let me try to get this straight. What did he do? Let's see. Some of the things that he did. He was caught in adultery. Right? When he was caught in adultery, what did he, and when he committed adultery, what did he do? He murdered the husband. All right? It's like Pastor Dan sending me out to Queens Boulevard and I got run over by a car. He sent the husband out to battle and pulled back the men. Committed murder. All right? But why is David considered a man after God's own heart? Anybody? He keeps on repenting. When Nathan, right, confronted David, right? When David's heart was quickened by the Holy Spirit, he always turns back to God. Not because he was so good. He was a man after God's own heart because when he was convicted, he would always break down and turn back to God. All right? And it says, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. All right? In Psalms 51, 10 to 13, David cries out, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He turns back to God. And this is the great, great invitation. All of us need turning back to God. Godly men, godly women, or people who are far away, all are invited. All right? It should humble us and give us the freedom. We all need to repent. None of us are that close to God that we don't need to repent. And if we say we don't need to repent, then you should read 1 John. Those who says they are without sin makes God out to be a liar. So God proclaims that we are all in the fellowship of repenting. Martin Luther says, my whole entire life is about repentance, because we're always straying from God. And there's two ways that we stray from God, right? Well, before we get to two ways of straying from God, repentance does include sorrow, right? You need to be sorry for what you did. I was sorry, really, then when I took that thing. I saw it and I go, I shouldn't have taken it. So when you repent, you ought to be sorrowful, all right? And I confess to you, in the past, I have not been very nice to my sister, my younger sister. When I grew up, I always blamed her for everything I can blame her for. I don't know why she had more red envelope money than I did, so I always trying to convince her to buy candy for all of us. I repent, all right? So that's sorrowful. To this day, I regret doing that to my sister. I was not a good brother. I repent. And so I take her out to dinner. Whenever she has time for me, I want to spend time with my sister Mimi because I really love her. And I repent. I'm still repenting. So I'm sorrowful. When I repent, there is a sorrowfulness. I still am sorry sometimes how I treated my sister. But there is two types of sorrows too. There's a sorrow, all right, that gives you life. And there's a sorrow that drags you down, isn't there? All right? Sometime when we're caught in sin or doing something bad, there's two ways that we can respond. Hopefully, number one is not with callousness. I don't care, right? Hopefully, there is sorrowful because, like Jamie says, we need to turn away. So we need to be sorrowful. But there is a way that you can deal with repentance and sorrowful that does not that helpful. And this is the way, all right? Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you? What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourself, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. 2 Corinthians 7:10 to 11. So there is a godly sorrow that leads us to repentance. A godly sorrow that leads us back to God. But I propose to you, there's a sorrow that leads to death. So what is a sorrow that leads to death? I think I propose to you a sorrow when you do something bad or you sin, all right? You just beat yourself. If you just beat yourself, I'm a horrible, horrible person. I should not be loved. God doesn't love me. I'm a horrible person, all right? That's not the end. It should not be the end. It's like this. I'll illustrate this. Charlie, all right? I am sick of myself. All right? That's a little bit of a worldly sorrow. All right? If it stops at just making you feel bad, all right, and it doesn't lead you back to the throne of God, that is not healthy sorrow. You should feel bad like I did towards Pastor Dan, my sister, but it leads to a change of heart and a change of attitude coming back to God. Does it? Right? So God doesn't want you totally to beat yourself down. He does want you to repent, and that sorrow should lead you back to his goodness. Right? Feel bad, but that sorrow led me back to Dan. My sorrow led me back to my sister. But if I say, I'm a horrible person, I took this from Dan, I'll never show up at CT again. All right? He must hate me. He must know I did this. Or I think my sister would say, she will never forgive me. She has nothing to do with me. I'm a bad brother. Bad brother. But it doesn't lead me back to Pastor Dan. It doesn't lead me to my sister. It does. Your repentance and your sorrow doesn't lead you back to God. That's not what God calls us to be. This is what I would... I know, sorry, pictures are terrible and I try. It should give you... gives you a feeling that that sorrow should lead you back to the loving arms of God. This girl has, you know, her hands, you know, feels her hand, she has a little sorrow in her. You can see it in her posture, right? But there's a gentleness between this picture and Jesus. Soak in this picture. I know it's imperfect. But your repentance has to bring you back to this incredible connection with this loving, merciful God. Repentance should start with some sorrow, but it should cause you to fall in love with Jesus again and cause you to say, my goodness, you are this incredible, forgiving God. I don't deserve it, but you give it to me. And you fall in love again. Okay. All right. Let me just try this. All right. And like I said, that's early story. So, and then this second in verse 13, it says, rent your heart and not your garment. What does that mean? That's pretty good. Just give your heart to God, or turn, give your heart back to God, or not just your possession. That's really good. Or, just to make it, just take it to one more step, your repentance should, your heart should turn towards God. Really good. But not only in your actions, not just ripping up your garment, just not giving things away. All right? Outward changes does not automatically mean that you are fully repented. When you fully repented, it does lead to outward actions, though. You see the correlation? All right? So the type of, this is, Joe was warning the people of Judah. Says, don't think God is only looking for outward change. Don't think that only because you consistently come back to church, your heart is turned towards him. Doesn't mean that you do more religious activity that you are repentant. All right? In the Old Testament time, renting of your garment, going home and go, oh, I have sin! Like the Hulk, ripping out my unique glow shirt or whatever I have. All right? I've sinned. All right? I've been bad to Pastor Dan. All right? But if I don't have a change of heart with towards Dan, that's just outward appearance. It doesn't do. It just makes me feel good. But there's no turning back to God. And we as church goers have to be very attentive to not just do outward actions to relieve our guilt. Because that is a little bit of the sorrow that leads to death, because it's all about you. All right? And you carry the burden of that sin. It doesn't turn you back to God. But when you really have change of heart, all right, it actually should lighten you. It should bring you. It should bring you up to a little bit closer to the heavenlies. That no matter how bad I am, I'm accepted and loved by God. Change of heart. Not just change of duty. But let me say, real change, real repentance does lead you to change your action. Okay? So I'll give you another visual example of what it means to repent. Oh, look at this. What's that? Oh, that's a 7 train, right? You've seen this, right? This is the elevated track of the 7 train. All right? So just bear with me for a little bit, right? Just make believe that God lives, all right, in Queens, because CT is here, right? God lives in Queens, and that F train right there, all right? Does it work? I don't know. That F train that's coming into Queens, right? It's going towards God. Just work with me. I'll give you an example, right? So that F train is going into Queens, and that's going towards God, all right? And the other train on the right-hand side is going towards Manhattan. Oh, a lot of sinners there, right? So that's like not good, all right? Manhattan, sin. Queens, good. God, okay? All right? So if you're on the train heading towards Manhattan, all right, and the kind of repentance that does not work is like this. Change of action. Change of just outward action and not change of heart. It's like being on that train going into Manhattan, all right, and then you're walking backwards on that train. You're walking backwards on the train towards Queens, but that train is still going towards Manhattan. So that means you can feel bad about something. But if you don't really have a change of heart and change of action towards God, you're still going into Manhattan. Real repentance means get off at the next stop. All right? Swipe your Metro card. Turn around. Get on the train towards Queens, towards God. It has to have a change of heart and action. And sometimes it will cost you something. All right, in this case, a swipe of the Metro card. But it costs you something to repent sometimes. You need to totally change your direction. Right? So just don't play this game of fake repentance, so-called, just changing your actions and walking backwards on the train towards Manhattan. Examine your heart. Is it towards God? Is it because of his loving kindness, like I said? Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Oh, I love it. One of the most beautiful things about this is, you know what? I have a misunderstanding towards repentance. All right? See, like if I had this misunderstanding, I think like, oh, if I tell Pastor Dan I stole his thingy, took his thing, all right? He goes, oh, I knew it. Oh, you. I knew I never could have trust you. I knew you were no good, right? That's not God at all. It's not Pastor Dan. It's not. God says, no, come home. He doesn't wag his finger at you. No, that's a misunderstanding. He says, come home. Come home. Come home, not because you sin. Come home because I love you. And I will always accept you. Because you're my son. You're my daughter. Return to the Lord, for he's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. This is the most joyful part of repentance. He's never going to say, I told you so. And this has always been one of my favorite. Again, pictures can't even do justice to what really God is like. All right? You know the parable of the prodigal son. Son, right? It says, prodigal sons, right? It should be two S's. But let me just finish this. The focus is not the younger son, which is on his knees, or the older son, who is looking down at the son, his brother, with indignation and self-righteousness. The focus is actually the father. The father's love. There's no wagging finger. There's a gentle, open hand around the loving shoulders of the son. That's when repentance is a gift. It's running towards somebody who loves you that much. Right? I wish I had more time to just unpack this just a little bit. There's two ways, remember I told you? If God tells us to return, there's two ways that we stray. Right? There's two main ways that we stray. And it's illustrated by the younger son, and it's illustrated by the older son, how we stray from God and that we need to repent. The younger son, we know what he did, right? Prodigal means wasteful. Prodigal means wasteful. The younger son wasted dad's money on stuff. Okay, we won't go into the stuff, He wasted his squanderous money. Right? So he needs to repent, right? Clear. The older brother, he needs to repent too, you know that? He was the religious one. He was the self-righteous one. He did not rejoice when the younger brother came home. And he was also a prodigal son. You know what I found? Realized it hit me hard. He was also very wasteful. What he wasted and he needed to repent of is his relationship with his father. His religious, righteous acts was wasted because he did not embrace the father. He got mad at the father because all this time I did whatever you said, you did not even give me a lamb to slaughter. He did not have a great understanding of God's mercy and love. So we, as brothers and sisters in the church, we are more susceptible to the wandering and need for repentance more of the older brother. Be careful about self-righteous acts that does not lead to healthy repentance. All right? And if you read that story, it leaves you hanging. Did the older brother really repent? But my call to you is, don't worry about what the older brother did. The warning is, if you are like the older brother, like me, do you repent? Do you come home to the Father? All right, this is the last one. And verse 14 says, who knows? When we turn to God, he may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offering and drink offering for the Lord your God. And in verse 25, the Lord says, when you turn to me, when the people of Judah turn back to God, I will restore the years that the locust has eaten. This is such great news again. You turn back to God, he will restore you. He will restore your broken relationship. He will uplift your sorrow. All right? He will cleanse you of your guilt. Your duty is to return. God's duty is to restore. Isn't that great? He will restore the years the locust has eaten. He will restore your brokenness. If you turn to him, your call, my call, your duty, my duty is to turn back to God in repentance. His job is to restore. Isn't that great? So lastly, I want to say, let us embrace the joy and the gift of repentance in this Lenten season, not with legalistic act, but the turning, the renting of our heart towards God. If you repent well and biblically, you will feel God's love. You will long for his embrace. You will fall on your knees with such a peace that surpasses all understanding. Your guilt will not overwhelm you. God's love will overwhelm you. It starts with a feeling of guiltiness and sorrow. Great repentance will end with the joy of the Lord. May God lead you to the joy of repentance. Thank you. Oh, Pastor Dan.